right. Thank you, girls. Thank you, praise team, as well. You all did a great job. Take your Bibles this morning. Go to the book of Galatians, chapter number 5. Once again, Galatians chapter number 5. We have been talking about the fruits of the Spirit. And as you get to know me better and listen to more and more sermons, you'll realize that sometimes I can move rather slowly through a passage, because there's so many things that come to mind as I work through a passage and study it and think about the things that God would have us to talk about in His Word. The Bible is an amazing book. It tells us that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And so what we have from His Word has come directly from Him. This is what God has revealed to us about Himself. General revelation has revealed is revealed in creation, but special revelation is the Word of God, in which He has revealed specifically who He is and what He has done and how He works. So in the believer's life, we understand that the Spirit of God is leading us and producing what has been titled the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians 5. Earlier in the chapter, we discussed the works of the flesh. You will see the works of the flesh and the works of the Spirit are in direct opposition to one another. One is derived from our sinful nature. The other is derived from God and from who He is and from what He has done and what He is doing. In verse 16, Monty, you don't have to put this up there, but I just want to read this to you to remind you. Verse 16 of chapter 5 says this: "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Then go down to verse 22 in chapter 5, where the Bible says the fruit of the Spirit. And I had emphasized the last several weeks that these fruits will be produced by God. They're not produced by trying to retrain the flesh and trying to beat ourselves into submission, but these are fruits that are produced by God. The fruits that are produced have nothing to do with your natural inclination. They have nothing to do with what you are good at or what you are not good at, because all these are produced in spite of you by the power of the Holy Spirit. It doesn't matter necessarily whether you are, and I've joked about this, a naturally loving person. We recognize that some are not naturally loving people. But the Spirit is able to take someone who may not naturally be loving and produce love in their hearts by His power. You may not be naturally joyful or may not have peace. You may be the most impatient person in all the world, or you may not be gentle or have goodness or faith. But nevertheless, the Spirit is able to produce these things in you because they are produced in you, not by you, by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so I want to take just a moment this morning before we go into what is the first fruit of the Spirit, which is love. I want to take a moment and explain to you a little bit about the work of the Holy Spirit and how in our lives sometimes we hinder the working of the Holy Spirit by our own lack of obedience and by our own lack of unwillingness to be conformed to the image of Christ. Throughout Scripture, you'll see terms used in regards to the Holy Spirit. There are several terms that you will remember. In the book of Ephesians, chapter number 4, the Bible tells us to not grieve the Holy Spirit. In Ephesians 4, in verse number 30, he says this: "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption." And then verse 31 begins to talk about things that grieve the Holy Spirit, things that go against the Holy Spirit: bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking. Let it be put away from you with all malice. So he says in verse 30, it is a grieving to the Holy Spirit with those actions. You can understand also, go to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5, book of 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5, and in verse number 19. So we see the word grieve not the Holy Spirit, but then we see another word in regards to the work of the Holy Spirit. It's just four words in verse number 19 where the Bible says, quench not the Holy Spirit. That's a scary thought. How is it that I quench the Holy Spirit. I am understanding that I know what grieve means, but what does it mean to quench the Holy Spirit? And so in our lives, maybe some of the reasons that the fruits of the Spirit are not being produced is because we are not surrendering to the power of the Holy Spirit in those areas, and we are grieving and thus quenching the Holy Spirit in our lives by our own actions. So what does it mean? How do I have a life that demonstrates the fruits of the Spirit? And we're going to talk about this a little bit this morning. Only a life of true yieldedness with dying to self will result in proper relation to the Holy Spirit. Only a life of true yieldedness and dying to self will result in a proper relation to the Holy Spirit. If you want the fruits of the Spirit to be produced in your life, you need to die. Wow, I'm never coming back here again, right? This guy's crazy. What do I need to die to? Die to myself. Die to my desires. Die to my wants. Die to the things that I desire for my life and say, Holy Spirit of God, I yield to you. I yield to your direction. I yield to your power. And I give not my desires, but your desire in my life. And I die to myself. There's a preacher I've had preach for me one time, and his name was Ron Lynch. And he tells a story about how his Jeep was stolen in his front yard. He was away preaching, and his wife called him and said, honey, our Jeep has been stolen. And he responded this way. When he went to the Lord in prayer, he said, Lord, somebody stole your Jeep. He died to self. It wasn't no longer him or his desires. But he says, Lord, this is your situation. You take care of it. Someone stole your Jeep, Lord, right? The idea of dying to ourselves and saying, Lord, I only want to live how you'd want me to live. So what does it mean to quench the Holy Spirit? How does that even happen? It can happen in individuals' lives. I think it can happen in churches. I think it can happen in families. I think we see a quenching of the Holy Spirit in America today. What does it mean to quench the Holy Spirit? It means to extinguish. It means to extinguish. It means to stifle or to retard something, all right? And so in Mark 9:48, let me show you this. This same word is used in Mark 9, verse number 48. And he's talking about where the worm dieth not, he says, and the fire is not quenched. He's talking about something that doesn't go out in this relation, but in the relation of the Holy Spirit in 1 Thessalonians, he's talking about when we douse or retard the work of the Holy Spirit. It means to extinguish. It's the idea of a fire that may be burning. And many of you probably had fires burning in your homes, hopefully contained this morning, right? And the idea is that it begins to go out. For Christmas, Joanna bought me a torch. You know, it's the greatest invention ever. You know, I used to get up in the morning with that little air puffer, you know, and you know, and you're trying to get the fires going. This morning, I used a torch. I mean, talk about something. I felt powerful, right? This thing's about that long. You know, when I fired that thing, you know, I just put big logs in there. I was torching everything. I mean, it was exciting. I felt so cool when I was done torching that fire this morning to get it rekindled. But the idea of quenching is you think of that torch coming out the end, and then, you know, it's making all that noise, and it's burning, and there's fire, and all of a sudden you turn that gas off. It's gone. You can't do nothing with it, right? You're trying to use it with no fire. And so the Bible warns us to not quench or extinguish the work of the Holy Spirit. In Matthew 25, let me show you this quickly. In Matthew 25, in verse number 8, the same word it talks about here. It says, and the foolish said unto the wise, give us your oil, for our lamps are gone out. That's that same idea, that fire that's burning. Now, why is it that the Bible is using this word quench, because the Holy Spirit oftentimes is equated with fire throughout the Scripture. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 6. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 6. Let me show you this as we talk about these things. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 6, Paul writing to young Timothy, he says this, "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee, putting on of my hands." The same idea of stirring up something in verse number 6. "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God." That's the idea of rekindling something that has been laying dormant, rekindling that fire within your heart. We understand that the Spirit is equated with fire throughout Scripture. So quenching is what we do to the Holy Spirit, and grieving is how He responds to what we did. So Ephesians 4 says, grieve not the Holy Spirit. Thessalonians says in chapter 5, to not quench the Holy Spirit. And so quenching is what we do when we live a life that is not yielded to the power of the Holy Spirit. And as a result of our decisions, the Spirit grieves for the direction that we have chosen. You do not quench the Holy Spirit, listen to this, you do not quench the Holy Spirit without grieving the Holy Spirit. And you will not grieve the Holy Spirit unless you have quenched the Holy Spirit. It's simply two sides to the same problem. One describes what you do, and the other describes what He does. Does that make sense? One describes what you do, and the other describes what He does. You quench, He grieves. Now, what is it, as we are warned against in Thessalonians, that we are to not quench the Holy Spirit? What is it that causes these things? How can we quench the Holy Spirit? It is in areas of our life where we have not yielded to His power. It is areas of our life where we are living in disobedience to the direction that He would have us to go. It is areas of our lives where we have not surrendered to Him. I'm going on and on this morning. But it's areas of our lives where we have not surrendered to His power. Maybe here today, the fruit of the Spirit is love, and you're not loving. That's an area of your life you've not surrendered to the Spirit of God. Maybe here today, and you have no joy, and you're upset, and you're bitter at things in your life. That's an area of your life where you've not surrendered to the Holy Spirit. We've all had those things. We've talked about that in the past. We've all had times where those things have crept into our lives. And so only a true life of yieldedness with dying to self will result in proper relation to the Spirit of God. Ask a Christian this morning, are you yielded to the Spirit? Are you grieving the Spirit? Are you quenching the Spirit's work in your life by your own desires to do your own will? Let me just give you a few applications this morning. What is it the Spirit wants to do in my life that I may be quenching? What is it the Spirit is desiring to do in my life that is causing grief as I do not yield to His power? Well, I'm glad you asked this morning, because we'll go through a few things that the Spirit is seeking to do. Clearly, first of all, that we've started this study in the book of Galatians, clearly the Spirit of God wants to produce His fruit. And we've gone over these and gone over these. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Those are clearly, we're going to talk about those one by one, but clearly those are all things the Spirit of God is desiring to produce in our lives. What are some other things? Number one this morning, what does the Spirit of God want to do? The Spirit of God wants to move me along a path of ever-increasing holiness. Ooh, careful, Josh. Don't talk about holiness among a bunch of Christians, right? We don't want to live like that all the time. The Spirit of God, it wants to move me along the path of ever-increasing holiness. Christian, listen to me for just a moment. When you are a Christian, when you are saved by the blood of Christ, God is doing a work in your life. God doesn't want you to stay in the same position which you were saved in. He wants you to be moving along the idea of growth. And the Bible says this time and time again, where the Bible says that you should desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Now, our kids don't have to do this anymore, but if you have a newborn child, if you remember when they were growing, there's a thing called a percentile, right? Who remembers that? Take the baby in, they weigh them like, all right, they're in the 80th percentile, or they're in this, or they're measuring their height and all these kind of things. And if they're not meeting those goals, the doctors sometimes say, hey, we may need to do something because this child is not growing, right? And so as a Christian, well, what is it that makes us think that we're supposed to stay as a babe? When you plant a seed, it grows. When you are born, you begin to grow. God's the work of the Holy Spirit, one of the works of the Holy Spirit is to be producing growth in our life, to ever increasing holiness, to be more and more separate from the things of the world, but to be living for God. So sometimes when we resist that, we say, I don't want to grow. I don't want to live a life of holiness that is a grieving of the Holy Spirit, and we're quenching his power in that area because of our unwillingness to follow his direction. He wants to move us along a path to ever-increasing holiness. Number two, what else does the Holy Spirit want us to do in our lives? What else is he working in our lives? He wants to produce decreasing frequency of sin. Just to be honest with you, I've been in the ministry for almost 20 years now. And in my 20 years of ministry, preaching about sin has not gotten any more popular, right? We like happy messages. My cousin Joel, right? He's happy. He preaches happy stuff and he fills the stadium with happy things. Who doesn't want health, wealth, and prosperity? Anybody wants that. You also don't have to be saved to want any of those things, okay? But anyway, preaching about sin or against sin is not popular because it makes us uncomfortable, right? But listen, the Holy Spirit is working to decrease frequency of sin. He doesn't want us to be controlled by sin, to be directed by sin, to be led by sin. In those areas of our lives where we may have sin that is dominating us and we are not living by the power of the Holy Spirit, those are areas in our lives where we have grieved and quenched the power of the Holy Spirit because we are willingly, even though we've been set free, to continuing in those sins. So the Holy Spirit wants to produce holiness in my life. He wants to produce this decreasing frequency of sin. If you are still living constantly in sin, those are areas where you are not following the direction of the Holy Spirit. If you're a Christian, he wants to lead you out of that sin. Imagine such a thing, that us that have been set free from the power of sin still live by its grips. The Holy Spirit wants to help us have victory over temptation, number three. Victory over temptation. Let me tell you something that it took me a while to understand, and maybe you already know this. Did you know temptation is not a sin? Did you know temptation itself is not a sin? Christ was tempted, yet without sin, all right? When it becomes a sin is when we act upon the temptation. You know how, I hate to use a reference to an old movie, but have you ever seen this is going to be embarrassing, all right? The old movie, Chitty Chitty Bang Bang? I mean, that's a classic. An old movie, Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, and it's a musical, and that's all I was allowed to watch when I was a kid. And anyway, and so there's this person in the movie, and they have a big wagon, and it gets pulled into town by the horses, and on the side of it, it says, free candy, right? and it's a child, a person that hates children or whatever in the movie, and the kids run and they get the free candy and then the sides pop off and they're in jail, right? Captive by the in the movie. And so, but that's how oftentimes the devil comes with his temptations, doesn't he? Can I just tell you something real quickly? I'm all over the place. I'm a little free this morning, okay? Listen, why do you think that sometimes the devil's temptations are not as obvious as you think they are, right? The devil is sneaky. He comes to you as an angel of light even sometimes. The devil can deceive you. Sometimes we're so thinking that the devil is going to arrive with a pitchfork and a red suit with a tail. Oftentimes he doesn't arrive like that at all in our lives. So the Holy Spirit wants to give us power over temptation, that we not yield to the temptations. The Holy Spirit wants to lead us in a path of holiness. He wants to lead us in a path with decreasing sin. He wants to lead us in a path of power over temptation. And when we are resisting those things, we are grieving and quenching the power of the Holy Spirit in that area. Number four, we're moving along quickly this morning. What's another area that God wants us, the Holy Spirit wants to lead us in? Decreasing victimization of the flesh. Our fleshly desires. The Holy Spirit wants to show and give us power and victory over that flesh that keeps rearing its ugly head. Number five, the Holy Spirit wants to produce and increase our longings for God. That we would have a greater joy for God in God and love the things of God. Christian, what a privilege we have to gather together on a Sunday morning and to worship the Creator of the universe, to sing to His name. It's wonderful to hear the praise team up here singing, but I just want to remind you that they're leading you in singing. You're not supposed to be just listening to them, you're supposed to be singing with them, right? And so we can sing together and praise the Lord together. I'm a terrible singer. And if you sit anywhere near me, you know that by now. All right? But I sing anyway. I don't even care because I'm not singing for you. I've tried to get on the special music rotation. It's not been allowed yet. All right? Did I ever tell you about the time that there was a group, it's called the Clark Singers, and I always joke with them about singing, and I'm not a good singer, and what happened with this was I was in seminary, and I had to lead one song, right? And I was learning the motions and all those things, and I told Joanna, who has perfect pitch, I said, honey, I want you to go whenever I get off pitch, all right? I said, okay. So I get up there, and I'm getting ready to start practicing, and I say, bah. One word. I couldn't even get the full word out, and I was stopped by Joanna. You're off tune. What? How do you know? I barely said anything. I can tell. You're off tune, all right? Then I went to a place called Scenic Bay Baptist Church, and Pastor Dickman, he was teaching us preacher boys. He said, you may be in a church where you got to lead singing, so I'm going to teach you all how to lead singing. So I'd go every Sunday afternoon and learn to lead singing until he finally just said, Josh, just go study. All right, maybe you'll get to a church you can preach and not have to lead singing, all right? Because this is not working out so well. And so I've tried and tried to sing more. But anyway, my dream came true. The Clark Quartet came to my church and they said, Josh, we want you to help us with the special. Hallelujah. I am in a group, I'm singing. And so they're doing This Little Light of Mine. And guess what my part was? To blow in the microphone, for don't let Satan it out. That's all I was allowed to do. And so they were saying, this little item, I won't sing it, okay? And then it come to that part, and they said, don't let Satan, and I went, it out, right? That's all I was allowed to do. A man sitting in the front row right there started laughing so hard, he hit his head on the pew. Almost knocked himself out from listening to me. That was the end of my singing career. I could not do it anymore. But listen, we should enjoy singing to God. Enjoy the presence of God. Christian, when the Spirit wants you to say, yes, I'm in church, I'm here. Oh, I love that song. I don't know that song, but that's okay. I'll sing it anyway because I'm learning. I'm worshiping to God. So the Spirit of God wants to increase our longing and our love for God as we grow in Him. He wants to produce holiness in our life and decrease the frequency of sin and give us power over temptation and help us get over our preoccupation for this world. Sometimes we're so consumed with the things of this world, we can hardly even think about the things of God. So how does this happen? I'm almost done this morning. Go to the book of Psalms, chapter number 19. How does the Spirit do this? How does He produce these things in our lives? And I love what Psalms 19 has to say about this. The Spirit of God produces these things in our lives as He shows us and teaches us through His Word. So Psalms 19, and I think of this passage all the time when I look up at our stars here in Colorado, as He says, the heavens declare the glory of God. Oh, wow, yes. The firmament showeth His handiwork. But that's not what we're going to focus on. That's a whole other sermon. Go down to verse 7. Look at what He says in verse 7 about God's Word and what the Spirit is using to work into our lives. He says this, the law of the Lord is perfect. I've read this passage to you before. Converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. And then I love this, and I know I've read this passage before, but He says this, more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey from the honeycomb. So God, and the Spirit of God is working our lives through the Word of God to produce fruit, not from our old flesh, but by the power of the Holy Spirit, not by us, but in us, by His strength and power in our lives. But there's a couple reasons why it doesn't always happen. Why is the fruit of the Spirit not always evident in our lives? Because oftentimes we are grieving, and thus we are quenching the work of the Spirit in our lives by our own selfish desires and our own unwillingness to follow the direction of the Spirit of God. And that's why time and time again, go to Galatians 5 one more time, and we'll be done. Galatians 5 one more time. That's why He warns in verse 16, walk in the Spirit. That's a decision, and that is a choice to walk in the Spirit. Then He says again in verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit. We live by the power of the Spirit of God. And the Spirit produces the fruits and the attributes of God in our lives. Let's not grieve the Spirit of God with our own actions and thus put out this fire within us by our own disobedience, as we have been warned by Scripture to don't grieve or quench the Spirit of God. And if we will be truly yielded to the Spirit of God in our lives, we will begin to see the fruits of His work in us. Maybe you have a situation where you struggle being loving. Maybe you have a situation where you struggle having joy or peace. I always like to talk about long suffering. Again, I don't know of anybody that's I'm naturally a patient person, right? Fast food, credit card, bank loans, on and on we go. Everything is quick in our society. But we can have these things through the power of the Spirit of God as we yield to Him. I'm still learning these things. We all are as Christians. We're all growing and learning to be surrendered to the power of the Holy Spirit. It's as simple as giving place to Him instead of ourselves. Let's bow our heads together this morning. Joanna and Bethany are going to come. Next week, I promise, we will start with the first fruit, which is love. But in order for this to happen, in order to truly have love, we've got to have the power of the Spirit of God. We've got to not be quenching and grieving Him in our lives. We must live through His power. So as they play for us this morning, let's just bow our heads together. Let's just talk to God, and maybe a simple prayer like this. Lord, if there's an area in my life where I'm grieving You, forgive me. Lord, if there's an area of my life where I have quenched Your power by my own selfish desires, forgive me of those things. May I live by Your power. May You produce Your fruit in me. Just take a moment, talk to the Lord. Is there an area where I'm not surrendered to You? If I've grieved You, forgive me. If I'm quenching Your work in my life, forgive me. Give me the strength to live for You. Let's pray this morning. Father, lead us how You would have us to be led in our lives. May we be willing to surrender. If there's any areas in our lives, Lord, where we are grieving You or quenching Your work, help us to begin to follow You and yield to Your power once again. Lord, we know that You can and will produce these fruits in our lives. Help us every day to live by Your power. Help us every day to see the Spirit form us and to make us into what He would have us to be. Lord, we love You. We thank You for all You've done. Keep us safe as we go our separate ways. And may the Spirit of God take the truth of Your word this day and work in every heart. In Jesus' name, amen.